Hey, Mrs. Pan, this is Clove. Just wanted to say what's up, and thanks for the $100 for winning the span challenge. You'll be happy to know that $100 will find its way in a stripper's G-string while I'm in Vegas. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 54 of the report. Yeah, man, this is like this has been like a trial to get this episode out, man. This is episode number 54C, episode 54C, man, because this is the third time I've actually tried to record this episode, man. And yesterday I actually did this whole thing. I did the whole thing to the whole podcast in 45 minutes, only to find out that there was no audio. Nobody could actually hear what it is that I was saying while I was recording the show yesterday. But here we are again, episode 54 of the Spare Report Podcast. Let's really try this shit again, all right? Yeah, man. But, you know, of course, I know a lot of you guys have been wondering where the hell Span's been for the last three, four weeks or whatever. And a lot of it has been making some changes to how I distribute the show, how I go about doing the show, making the decision to actually start doing live shows here on Google Hangouts, on air, on YouTube, and, you know, just a lot of different changes, right? So let me go into, to the changes that have been made going forward for the Span Report. First of all, the Span Report will no longer be available on Podomatic. I'm taking my show off of Podomatic simply because I wasn't really feeling like I was getting the services that I should have been getting rendered to me for the amount of money that I was paying every month. So what I did was I decided to take my own RSS. I decided to get my own RSS feed and distribute everything through my website. Okay, so the Span Report Podcast is still available on iTunes and it's still available on Stitcher Radio. It just won't be available on Podomatic. And so with those changes, because Podomatic was the ones who owned the RSS feed that distributed the Span Report Podcast previously out through iTunes and Stitcher, because of those changes, if you're listening to me on iTunes, you're going to have to resubscribe to the show. Okay, so this will be the last episode that will show up on Podomatic. Okay, so this is like the buffer episode for you. So if you're listening on iTunes, you're going to have to resubscribe. And what I've done is to make it a bit easier for you guys to, you know, not get confused as to which one is which, the new episodes and the new shows will be under the Span Report. It won't say the Span Report Podcast. It'll just say the Span Report. And also it'll have a white background, silver and blue lettering on the logo. Okay, so the white, silver, and blue logo going forward is a new logo for the Span Report Podcast. When you go to iTunes and you go to subscribe, that is the one you should subscribe to on iTunes. Now, if you're on Stitcher Radio, nothing changes for you. The RSS feed is just swapped, so you can continue to listen as you were on Stitcher Radio. Shout out to Stitcher Radio for making it so easy for the listeners to not have to resubscribe and everything else. But that was one of the changes that was made, and how I redistribute the show so that you guys can continue to get the show. And it was, you know, no downtime and everything else. Go to thespanreport.com. You can listen to all of the shows anyway. But of course, they're redistributed on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio through a newer RSS feed. So I really did have to let you guys know what that was about. And also, there's a new email address. All right. So when it comes to the email address, before it was thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That was the former email address that you would send to me, or that you would go to when you wanted to send emails to the Span Report. Now that email address has now changed. Okay, so what we're going to do is, because I'm bringing everything in house, you go to feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Send all of your new emails to the show at feedback@thespanreport.com. That way I'll get those sent directly to me. Nothing runs through Gmail anymore. Everything comes straight through thespanreport.com. So yeah, it's been a lot of changes as to how the show is distributed and how I'm going to get my feedback, but there it is. There it is. So that's part of the reason why your man Span's been gone for at least 3 weeks, man. Just trying to make these changes, just trying to make everything as seamless as possible for my listeners in order to get the Span Report Podcast regularly. And, you know, with very little downtime. And so I'm just bringing everything in house. Everything falls on me now. It's my responsibility. I can't blame nobody for shit. All right. But, of course, you know, there's the other ways that you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard, man. Of course, you can hit me up on the hotline. It's area code 313-288-0485. This area code 313-288-0485. hit me up on the hotline, leave me a voicemail message. I'll play those messages here on the show. And of course, I'll reply to you here on the show as well. You can also go to my Twitter and Instagram handles, man. If you want to chop it up with me there, my name is Mr. _ Span, the same as it is everywhere. Pretty much anywhere you go when you're talking about Mr. Span, that's pretty much how you just Mr. _ Span. You'll find me some sort of way on, PlayStation Network and Xbox Live too. You just add a 37 to the end. All right. So yeah, that's how we going on, you know, with that. But yeah, I got all of that out of the way. And now we can get back into this podcast, man. Let's get back into the game, man. But before I get started, man, of course, your boy Span is drinking. I'm getting my drink on. And tonight's drink of choice is Cavassier, Gold Cavassier, man. This is some really smooth shit, and I like it. It makes me really talkative, as you can tell, right? So, yeah, man, drinking some Cavassier Gold. Hold on. Doing that. But, yeah, man, there's a few things I wanted to talk to you guys about, man. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on since I've been away. Haven't really had a chance to really speak to him. I know that we had not the presidential elections, but the midterm elections come through and Democrats got their ass whooped. I really do want to give some political commentary to that shit, but nah, man, it's a bit late for that. I got some pretty strong opinions about it, but yeah, I'm gonna save those for a later time, and I really am. But what I did want to talk to you guys about, man, there's a few things I want to talk to you guys about. Of course, you know, Kim Kardashian, she did a photo spread for Paper Magazine. I had never even heard of Paper Magazine before, like, she did this spread. So obviously it's working for them. But she did a photo spread for Paper Magazine, and folks are a bit up in arms. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about that. And then also, man, you know, the street harassment thing had really had people's attention really hard. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even the last episode that I remember putting out, the last episode that I talked to you guys about was, you know, how men should, you know, conduct themselves around women and, you know, developing a man law around street harassment and everything else. And then right after I put that episode out, you had the woman walking in New York video come out, which really blew that whole situation up. So I'm gonna talk briefly about some of the conversations that I had with guys about that, man. And then there's a Subway slap video. You know, the Subway slap, man, that shit went viral, and it goes back into the whole, is there any time where a man is justified in hitting a woman? Okay, so I'm gonna talk a little bit about that, man. I got some issues with that I want to speak to, and of course, the Gay Man Delivered video. Okay, Gay Man Delivered, and of course, I got some shit to say about that too. I got some stuff to say about that too. So without further ado, man, I'm gonna just go right on into this, man. I'm gonna get right into it, and we're gonna talk about Kim Kardashian, man. We're gonna talk about this this photo spread that she did. And you know how people react to it, you know how people are relating to Kim Kardashian showing her ass yet again, right? So she does this video spread for Paper Magazine with the headline, "She wants to break the internet." Okay, video, the thing of it is it's to a point with Kim Kardashian that I'm a bit surprised that anybody at this particular point in time are surprised by her tactics for publicity, so to speak, right? So you have a person whom we all know and came to fame because of the tape that she had with Ray J, the sex tape and what have you. So it's not as if we've never seen this woman naked before. It's not as if we never, you know, like, even when those photos were leaked, when we was at 4chan, we're leaking photos of celebrities and everything else, and she was one of those celebrities. Like, we've seen these pictures. Like, people have seen Kim Kardashian naked before. This is nothing new. But it goes into, like, you have three different trains of thought, right? You got those of us who, you know, I want, like, okay, this woman, this is what she does. You know, like, you could talk about whether or not she has talent or whatever else, you know, but what we do know is that she's been able to explode her name into a brand. So whatever she does, there are people who are willing to buy products and do things just like she is after that sex tape came out. That takes a bit of a talent. That takes a bit of some business know-how. That takes some, you know, having the right people around you to maneuver that so that you can make yourself profitable in that way. It doesn't work that way for everybody, all right? And then there's the set of people who believe this because she's a mom now that, you know, she shouldn't be doing these type of things. You know, she's a mother, and, you know, it's a way to police her sexuality, so to speak, because she's a mom. So you got that aspect. And then you have the other aspect of people who for whatever reason, just they all for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, hey, it's another opportunity to look at some ass. It's another opportunity to look at some titties. And at the base level, I think that's pretty much what she knows she's getting. You know, the idea that people are going to want to see me in my ass in the full frontal and everything else, even though they say they don't want to. You know, that's the thing. It's popular to say that you don't want to see this woman. It's popular to say that she shouldn't be doing this. It's popular to do those things. But at the end of the day, somebody's paying this woman to do these things. And people are paying attention to her doing these things. So, you know, you look at that and, you know, it boggles the mind as to how many people are just like up in arms about it. Now, of course, there's another train of thought, right? There's the train of thought of, you know, the celebration of the white booty, right? The celebration of the white butt. Like, so you got a lot of people, you know, especially white, you know, not white women, but it's like sisters. Sisters are a bit upset that, you know, because of women like Kim Kardashian, because of Jennifer Lopez, because of Iggy Azalea and everything else, that all of a sudden the white booty or the big white booty has become desirable, not only amongst black men, but amongst men, period. Now, because these white women now have asses, so to speak, because these women now have asses, everybody wants to, you know, celebrate them and hold them up. When meanwhile, you know, black women have been degraded and sexualized and made fun of. I mean, you think about, I saw a think piece on, it was at thegrio.com. It was a write up in thegrio.com about Sarah Bartman, who some know as Hottentot, you know, who was paraded around as a freak show exhibit. And people would look at her and poke at her and sexualize her in ways that we do now. We still do these type of things. So, you know, it's not as if this phenomenon is anything new. And so it's interesting to see, you know, people exhibit this behavior, exhibit the fact that, you know, they're so up, you know, they want to celebrate Kim Kardashian and this wonderful ass that Kim Kardashian has been either blessed with or bought, you know, who knows, but it's interesting to see that. It's interesting to see all of the think pieces that are written about Kim Kardashian and this ass, man. And then, of course, you know, like I said, we go back into the policing of women's bodies, right? And so when you think about the fact that, say, for instance, you know, you'll hear people talk about Kim Kardashian's kid, you know, like Kim Kardashian is a mom now, you know, and, you know, it goes into, are we going to police this? Are we going to, like, you're a mom, you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be putting this type of thing out, like, think of the kids and everything else. And so I get that. I get it to a certain degree. I get it. And it's only because of how explosive social media is now, right? So take, for instance, I know somebody who has a son and was on Instagram with some very provocative photos. And her son was being teased at school because his friends had seen pictures of his mom bent over in the tub, assed out, right? So to a degree, I understand where, you know, some people are saying it could be used to bully a child when their mom is, you know, is put out in that way. And we can talk about the double standard and the fairness when it comes to the sexualization of women and when it comes to how men express their sexuality and what have you. And, you know, there is a double standard there, no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, whether or not, you know, you should be doing these type of things when you have a kid. So, you know, one thing that I will say is, you know, you have to wonder about the parental skills of the kids who were seeing this, you know, this kid's mom, you know, in that fashion. Like, how was, like, unless you, like, how could they get access to something like that, right? So are they rolling in the same circles? Are they following, like, how would they even know to follow said kid's mom on Instagram or on Facebook or what have you, especially someone who isn't famous, so to speak, like this kid's mom that I know. So how does a child gain access to something like that without, of course, you know, some negligence on the parent's part, so to speak, right? So, you know, unless your kid saw it because you saw it and you were, like, you know, not necessarily careful with your phone or with your computer and everything else, how would this kid even know about, you know, this grown-up activity going on? So you have that aspect, man, where you have people that are trying to police these women and their bodies and their sexuality by shaming them. You know, there's a lot of, you know, shaming of you shouldn't do this because, you know, you got kids and everything else. I get it, but that don't make it right. I get it, but it don't make it right. All right. But then, you know, the thing that a lot of folks just didn't realize off top was that the fact that the pictures that Kim Kardashian was taking weren't exactly original ideas. You know, these were things that had been done before. Actually, the photographer, I think his name is Jean-Paul Gourde. Jean-Paul Gourde had done this before in like 1976 or something like that. I don't know the name of the model that he used, but he also used to be associated. I think he actually used to date Grace Jones. You know, who was also someone who was known to be very provocative, very avant-garde, very over the top with her presentation. So, this isn't something that's new, you know, but I guess you could talk about misappropriation of the culture and, you know, again, white women being celebrated for the things that black women have been doing forever. You know, you could talk about all of those things, but at the end of the day, I don't think Kim Kardashian broke the internet. I think we're spending way too much time talking about Kim Kardashian, myself included. All right. So yeah, man. Let me move on. And of course, yeah, I'm not doing any musical breaks on the show either. No more musical breaks unless y'all putting, you know, y'all gonna like submit some music. So, and that's another, I got an idea as to how I'm gonna incorporate some music onto the show, but no more musical breaks from here on out, at least until I figure out a way to incorporate that in a way that's beneficial to me. All right. So yeah, man. But another thing too, man, like I was talking about street harassment. Of course, the last podcast that I did, man, we were talking about street harassment, and I was talking about, the need for a sort of code of conduct amongst men and how we interact with women, because our women aren't necessarily feeling safe around us. And I was talking about a situation that happened with my girlfriend when I was at work. I spoke about a situation with the sister that had been killed here in Detroit because of, you know, her rejecting a man at a repass while, you know, like a family member of hers had already died. So they had a repass and this guy couldn't take no for an answer. There's another incident where a sister had gotten her throat slashed because she said no to a dude. So I was talking about all of these incidents. Right. It was weird to me because I was having conversations with not only men, but I was having conversations with women too. And a lot of women weren't necessarily saying that they had a problem with street harassment, so to speak. A lot of them were saying that they didn't have a problem with saying with the gentleman saying hello to them or telling them that they look good today or telling them that they were beautiful. So, you know, when we think about that video, you know, there was, you know, it was a bit problematic in the sense of everything wasn't necessarily catcalling. And of course, guys had made some observations or, you know, some observations about the video seemed to edit out guys who may have catcalled her, and they just made it out as if it was only black and Latino men who were out here trying to get at chicks or whatnot, right? So I'm having these conversations and I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, I need some sanity. I need some clarity on this, right? And so I'm having conversations with dudes. I'm basically directing most of my conversation to the fellas because the problem therein lies with us. Right. When it comes to street harassment, the problem therein lies with us. So I'm having these conversations with these dudes, man. And it got to a point where you can tell that no one wants to identify themselves as being part of a problem. OK, so when someone tells you that you're doing something that makes them uncomfortable, a lot of people get defensive. You know, well, I do this all the time and I don't see it as being intrusive. I see it as being friendly. You know, so that was like one of the most common refrains that you got when you talk to fellas about street harassment and everything else, right? And so I'm having a conversation. As a matter of fact, I went to the homie Mr. Gates Facebook page, and there was a deep conversation going on over there. And I'm actually arguing with a couple people over there, right? And so, you know, one guy, he says, you know, I'm from the South. I say hello to everybody. You know, I don't see a problem with me being able to say hello or what have you. And the thing of it is the fact that most people, you know, whether you be from the South or not, most people don't speak to 100% of the people that come across them. I don't care who you are or where you're from. Most people do not speak to 100% of the people that they come across. You speak to some of the people who you think may be receptive to your greeting. Do I know quite a few people who do. There's times where I walk past someone and I can tell they may be in their mind. You know, you can kind of look at the body language. You can tell they're in some, you know, they're into their thoughts, or they're trying to avoid having any type of any conversation with you. And so, like, take for instance, when I'm at work, right? I work in a construction setting. You know, most of the time we got hard hats. There's a lot of heavy machinery going around. I operate heavy machinery. Sometimes we take breaks, and because we're working in residential neighborhoods, you'll see women coming home from work or coming home from lunch or whatever. You'll see kids coming home from school or going to school or whatever, and you can always tell that the girls tend to tense up when they see a group of men sitting around. So if we're sitting around at lunch or whatever, we're just having some burgers, or we just, you know, having pizza, whatever it is that we didn't have, you know, we just sat down and take a break for, you can see if a woman walks past us that she tenses up. She's unsure as to whether or not we're going to say anything to her, whether or not we're going to approach her in some sort of way. And you could tell she's uncomfortable, right? Because she's had these experiences before. She's walked past a group of men before, and she didn't necessarily feel comfortable. She's had guys singularly want to make sure that they said hello to her, right? So you have these conversations with these dudes who say they only want to say hi. I only want to say hello. Well, if someone's telling you that they have an issue with that, it no longer becomes about whether or not you just want to say hello. It's no longer, you no longer control that. And I think what made me more disappointed was the fact that dudes, for whatever reason, have an inability to have empathy for the women that they say they care about. I think that was the thing that I found more disappointing than anything else, that they found themselves not being able to show empathy to the women that they say they care about, right? So take, for instance, police brutality or police harassment. There's not one Black man that I know, not one Black man that I know who can't identify a time where they were stopped by the police and didn't feel powerless and didn't feel harassed. There's not one Black man that I know who can't say that they've never felt powerlessness in that instance, when the police pull them over or when the police stop them for whatever the fuck reason, that they don't feel harassed, that they don't feel intimidated, that they don't feel that they have any say in the whole incident, right? Because the police want to, for whatever reason, say something to you. The police are going out of their way to make sure that they say something to you, right? So you can identify with that. You can find yourself feeling powerlessness. You can find yourself feeling angry. You can find yourself feeling annoyed with the fact that the police continue to do this to you for whatever reason. But you can't necessarily identify why a woman would feel the exact same way with a dude who just has to say hello to her. You know what I mean? Like, and it goes beyond just saying hello. I mean, we all know to a certain degree that most of these hellos are, you know, it's an opening to something more, whether that be conversation, whether that be a date, whether that be, you know, a shot at getting some ass. We all know this. It isn't about you just wanting to say an innocent hello. And I think you're being disingenuous. I think a lot of dudes are being very disingenuous when they say, I just want to say hello. So like when I'm talking to people and they say, I say hello to everybody, and I say that you haven't spoken to 100% of the people that you come across, I had one guy say, yeah, I do. Knowing goddamn well that he hadn't. And you're being dishonest with me, and you're being dishonest with everybody else really trying to have an honest and constructive, you know, conversation about the topic when you talk about street harassment. So I think I was really disappointed, man, really disappointed in how dudes, reacted to that. And they're not finding themselves identifying themselves as being part of the problem. And I think that's the thing, you know, not just the lack of empathy, but the inability to find themselves as part of the problem. Because, you know, what that does is it makes you have to adjust your shit. You know, if somebody identifies you as part of being a problem, you know, you can either change some shit or you can move around and continue to do the shit that you've been doing. And I think a lot of guys, what they end up doing, unfortunately, is moving around and trying to continue to do the shit that they've been doing. Right. And so speaking on that, though, even with that, as much as, you know, street harassment is in the forefront and people are talking about it and people are debating about it and their think pieces written about it and their videos on YouTube and everything else, exposing it, the sad reality is I still don't believe to this point right now, I still don't believe that street harassment will ever be something that will be fully eradicated, right? I still don't believe it'll ever be fully eradicated. Two reasons. One is that, yes, there will always be a woman who enjoys that sort of attention. There always will be at least one who enjoys that sort of attention. And two, there will always be that dude ready, willing, and able to give her said attention. There's a lot of those guys. They ain't going nowhere no time soon. There's a lot of dudes who are just ready, willing, and able to give a woman the attention that she may be seeking, right? So you have the woman who wants the attention, and you have the dude who is seeking to give her the, you know, said attention. And the women who want that sort of attention are in a vast minority, very large minority, right? And the dudes who want to give that attention is a large portion of them motherfuckers. Like, they ain't, it's a lot of them dudes who are ready, willing, and able, man, just all the time. You see it on Instagram, you see it on Twitter, you see it everywhere else. Dudes are like everywhere when it comes to wanting to put their play in to get the attention of a woman, man. So yeah, I don't believe street harassment will ever really be eradicated. But at the same time, man, I really do feel as if we should shun, you know, harassing behavior, man. We shouldn't give, you know, cover to this. We shouldn't have dudes who would say that they wouldn't participate in this, yet argue for the right for dudes to go ahead and continue to do the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes absolutely no sense to me. But yeah, man, that shit's crazy. That's just really crazy. But another thing too that I wanted to talk about, man, the Subway Slap video, right? So my girl showed me this video and she's laughing. She's cracking up, especially when you hear the slap. Cause like I'm sitting next to her and I'm not really paying attention to what she's watching, but I hear the slap and I'm like, damn, what the fuck was that? Right. And so she shows me the video when it's these young girls, man, I think they were like 20, 21 or so. And they're mouthing off to this guy on the train about his 8-ball jacket and everything else. I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys have seen the video. If not, I'll have it available on thespanreport.com so you can check it out for yourself. But the conversation goes to a point where he calls this girl a bitch and she takes it upon herself to take her shoe and hit this dude in the back of the head with her shoe, which led to her having her soul slapped out of her, right? So, again, it led to conversations about domestic violence, right? And whether or not there's ever a time where a man should put his hands on a woman. We've had that conversation before, like when we talked about Ray Rice, just months ago, Ray Rice, that was the crux of the conversation, was maybe she provoked it. You know, Stephen A. Smith got in trouble for talking about whether or not Jhené Rice provoked Ray Rice into hitting her. And then you see the video when it comes out that no, she didn't. He just, you know, he just wailed on her for no good reason at all, right? There's really no good reason for it. So you see this video of this man slapping this woman on the train, and now you have a lot of people who, for whatever reason, sometimes they'll teeter-totter on what's cool and what's not, right? And so some people were saying that, yeah, it was he had a right to defend himself, right? He had a right to defend himself. She shouldn't have hit him, and she got what she had coming to her, right? And then you have, the other section of folks who are just like, yo, man, nah, it's never okay to hit a woman. Like, you know, there's other ways that situation could have been mitigated. He didn't necessarily have to do that in that particular instance, right? So here's where your man Span stands on that, right? I feel as if there's a very, very, very strong lead in. Well, Here it is. I'm sorry. There's a lot to be said for a man who's able to exercise restraint. Okay? There's a lot to be said for a man who's able to exercise restraint. Now, I'm pretty sure that there are quite a few instances with all of us, everybody, where there's something that you want to do to somebody and you really want to fuck them up, but you think on the consequences and the repercussions that come behind that. And you subdue that. You subdue that. You kind of like subdue those passions a bit. You know, because you understand that there are going to be consequences and repercussions behind those actions. And you exercise that restraint because of those consequences and repercussions. And there's a lot to be said for that. Right? So this guy, he slaps her. He spends four nights in jail. He gets out, has to come out of $1,000 to get out. So that slap cost that dude $1,000 and 4 days of his life. Now, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would just look at that and just say, well, you know, she hit him. She didn't have to hit him. Like, he had a right to defend himself. True indeed. Everybody has a right to defend themselves, but there's ways to go about doing it. I don't necessarily believe that was the correct way to go about doing that. You know, now, sure enough, I think she's like the charges against him have been dropped. And, you know, I think it was two women who have been charged. They're still being charged. I don't know if they got out of jail or not. I don't know if there's, you know, they've been bailed out or not. But the lesson here to be learned is that you should keep your hands to yourself. And I've said that before, like when we were talking about Ray Rice and Jhené Rice and everything else, people should definitely learn to keep their hands to themselves. You don't have to go out here and touch nobody. She didn't know that dude. He didn't know her. And yet now they're eternally linked. That video is going viral. It's going to be on the internet forever. She's going to be forever known as the girl who got slapped on the train because she couldn't keep her mouth shut or because she wanted to attack somebody bigger than her. He's going to be forever the dude who slapped the shit out of some girl on the train and wearing an 8-ball jacket. So it's to a point where, like, you know, you can justify it. I mean, guys have found ways to justify a lot of shit. And I'm starting to find out a lot of people that I know got issues with women. But there's a lot to be said for exercising some restraint. You know, that takes strength, man. It takes strength to not do something that you really want to fucking do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like say for instance, when you fuck up when you were a kid and your mom says, get the hell out of here before I do something to you because I'm gonna hurt you, you know, or shut up before I give you something to cry about, because they really want to fuck you up at that particular moment in time. But what they're doing is exercising some level of restraint, because they know if they get a hold to you at that particular moment, they're going to do something really fucked up. So it takes strength to walk away from a lot of situations. And a lot of people will sit up and tell you, well, man, you can't let nobody think you're a punk and everything else. That has nothing to do with being a punk. That has everything to do with being smart. Has everything to do with logically thinking things out in your head. And I know sometimes you'll be caught up in a situation and things are moving fast and everything else, and you can't necessarily think everything through. But sometimes, if you're thinking clearly and you got, you know, your wits about you, stuff can start moving in slow motion, man. I've had situations where I've had guns pulled on me on the job, man. I had to think quick, you know, or people pull guns on me because I was going to have to execute a shutoff order, and they didn't want that shutoff order executed. And I could have talked slick to them and everything else and found myself with some holes in me, or I could have just peacefully talked that situation down and walked away. Right? And that restraint has me sitting right here in front of you right now doing the Spare Report podcast on Google Hangouts Live, man. So like I said, man, there's a lot to be said for those of us who can exercise a bit of restraint when it comes to domestic violence, man. I don't think there's ever really a time where, you know, you can justify doing that. You know, like I know a lot of times, man, you know, people, they get up into their feelings, man. They talk about you know, why it's okay and everything else. And she shouldn't have done this and he shouldn't have done that. At the end of the day, both of them should have kept their hands to themselves, man, at the end of the day. So, yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that shit right now, man. But the last thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about was the gay man delivered, the gay man delivered video, right? So of course, these videos have been going around. This video is viral. I've seen people even remix the video. They made songs about the video and everything else. This gay man comes out, he says he's been delivered, he's no longer gay and everything else, right? And it's funny. Like, I saw it. I seen the dude, you know, when he first goes into his Johnny Gill, you know, singing hard verse and everything else. Like, he really gets into it and everything else. It's funny and it's sad at the same time, right? Sad at the same time. And I think it's sad because, you know, I think it's sad because this man has gotten to a point in his life where he feels like he has to reject who and what he is in order to appease others, right? He's in the church. Now, of course, there's a lot of different issues when it comes to the church, when it comes to homosexuality and the acceptance of it, or the blind eye turned to it and everything else, right? Everybody knows, or you hear the stereotype of the gay choir director, or you can go even back into the allegations that were made with Bishop Eddie Long. You know, all of those were homosexual activities, and Eddie Long was at the same time very vehemently coming out against homosexual activity and gay marriage and everything else. So you got that dichotomy there. And then on top of that, like, you know, we get back into this, you know, to this gentleman who's denouncing being gay. Now, it's funny because of his delivery, but at the same time, it's sad because of what he's doing. And I was having a conversation, right? I was having a conversation this week, and it was with one of my uncles, and my uncle posted a picture on Facebook, and it was of two flamboyantly gay men, right? Two flamboyantly gay black men. And he captioned the picture with, "If only there were more active black fathers, this wouldn't be happening." Okay. So the person in me is more so looking at it like, well, what about the guys who did have their fathers active and involved in their life, who still turned out gay, who were still gay men, they grew up and they were gay or whatever? Are you saying that if your sons come out gay, that makes you a failure as a father? And of course, he kind of talked around it. You know, he was talking about, well, no, it's all about, you know, having positive influences and positive reinforcement and positive directions, man, and showing them what it is to be a man and everything else. I said, okay, fine. True that. All of that is important when it comes to black father or fatherhood, period. These are all of the things that you want to do when you're a father. You want to impart great values in your children. You want to make them upstanding human beings. You want to make sure that they aren't criminals. You want to make sure that they do something to help the world. You want to make sure that your kids turn out better than you when they're an adult, right? These are all things that we all want for all of our kids. But even in that, if your kids were all of that, you would still feel as if you failed as a father if your child turned out gay, when them being gay has absolutely nothing to do with you, right? And so we had this conversation about, you know, whether or not it's a choice, whether or not it's a choice to be gay. I don't believe it is anymore. Like, there was once a time where I thought it was a choice. I put that out there. It's a video of me right now saying so on YouTube. I'll even put the link up so you guys can check it out for yourself. My view on that has completely changed over the course of the years, man. Like, I don't believe that anybody chooses to be discriminated against. I don't believe anybody chooses to be mocked. I don't believe anybody chooses to be made fun of. I don't believe that anybody chooses to be treated as less than who they are, right? I don't believe that. I don't think anybody would choose that for themselves. I don't believe anybody would just go out ahead and say, you know what? I'm gonna make sure that somebody wanna take my head off today. I want to make sure that somebody wants to like beat my ass because I'm walking down the street one day. I don't think anybody chooses that lifestyle. I don't think that's a choice for a lot of people. I really believe that, you know, people are born gay the same way that I was born black. Right. So it doesn't have anything to do with a choice in my mind. I don't believe it has anything to do with choice. Right. And so when I look back at this gentleman, he's in the church and he's rejecting himself. You know, we go into talking about whether or not God makes mistakes. Well, if you don't believe God makes mistakes, then this man obviously isn't a mistake. He's exactly who he's supposed to be. You can't deliver him from what God had already made him. You know, and here this man is, he's being shamed. You know, he's being shamed to the point where he's rejecting himself. He's being pressured to the point where he knows that being seen as a gay man is a problem, to the point where he has to go into a church and denounce it and declare that he's no longer going to be that anymore. And the sad part about it is nobody in the church believed that shit. Nobody believed it. Like, nobody, because I mean, like, you could look at the delivery, like how he talked, how he carried himself, man. Nobody believed that this man all of a sudden was no longer gay. And, the, you know, you got the preacher up there. He's trying to admonish the congregation. Like, yo, man, if you ain't believing, if you don't believe this, and you don't need to be preaching this and everything else, and why don't y'all come up here and dance with him and help and celebrate his deliverance and everything else? All of this stuff, nobody believed it. Why? Because they knew he was as gay as the day is long. They knew that just as well as he did. So, you know, you've got these issues, man. You've got these issues with the church, you know, not necessarily knowing how to embrace, you know, our gay brothers and sisters, man. Like, everybody, and if everybody knows somebody who's gay, whether or not they know it or not, everybody knows somebody who's gay. And again, like, I don't believe it's the choice. It just isn't, man. You can't convince me otherwise that somebody would choose to be made fun of and everything else. Now, you know, folks can talk about, you know, it's in pop culture now, man. You know, like, you got shows like Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, and, you know, you got, you know, gay sex happening on TV, and, you know, all, you know, you had, what's that? A lot of the shows on Bravo. I think a lot of the people on Bravo, I think that's, is Bravo run by gay folks? I don't know, but be that as it may, excuse me. You have all of these shows, you have all these, you know, the rappers and everything else. Everybody's trying to claim that it's pop culture's fault that gay people are more out in public and everything else. At the end of the day, I believe this is becoming less and less socially acceptable to discriminate against anybody. Right? It's less and less acceptable to discriminate against anybody, as it should be. We shouldn't be able to just flat out discriminate against somebody for being who and what they are as a human being. We shouldn't be able to do that. And it's becoming less and less popular to do that. You know, like, people act as if this gay stuff is new. It isn't new. It's just folks aren't necessarily hiding anymore. They don't have to hide as hard as they used to. You know, when you think about the civil rights movement, and one of the more influential people within that civil rights movement was Bayard Rustin, a homosexual. And it was a known fact that he was a homosexual. Some of the rights that you are walking around with right now are due to the fact that that man did what he did within that movement. But we're going to act like we're not the beneficiaries of that. You know, some of us aren't up on the history. Some of us are. You know, but to act as if homosexuality is somehow something brand new and it's only been perpetuated since the 80s and everything else. No, man, everybody knows somebody since they was gay, man, that was gay. Everybody's known that. It's not new. Like, you think about, what was that? Langston Hughes, man. Langston Hughes was a homosexual. People knew this. Miles Mabley was a homosexual. Comedic legend. People knew this. It wasn't a secret. So when you start thinking about, you know, the fact that these people, you know, sometimes had to hide who they are to appease society. Now, it's getting to a point now where they don't have to do that anymore. And it's not about throwing anything in your face. It's not about, you know, pun intended, forcing it down your throat. At the end of the day, man, people just want to be who they are. They want to, you know, live their life as they should be able to live it. So when it came to this guy, man, denouncing himself as a homosexual and saying he had been delivered and the church is, you know, championing this and everything else, is like, at the same time, looking at that video, it was funny. It was funny, but it was sad at the same damn time, man. Sad at the same time. So, yeah, man. Yeah. That's all I got to say about that shit right now. That's all I got to say. And as a matter of fact, that's about the end of the show for today. That's about the end of the show. And of course, like, I didn't have any questions in the question and answer portion in the section. And it is like one person, I think, right now viewing right now. So it really is in the chat room popping off right now. So I can't really respond to anything that any of you guys are saying. Uh-oh. Okay. Hold on a second. I do got a question. Here it is. Let's see. Okay, got it. Green Meme 28 says, the spectrum of sexuality is not always black and white as most people want to believe. You can't be delivered from being gay any more than you can from being straight. Exactly. Exactly. I don't think, and that's the funny thing about it. That's the funny thing about it is that folks tend to believe that you can make that choice. You can make that choice. And I don't believe that. It's almost like it was a conversation I was having with somebody actually earlier today. They had another picture of a gay couple and they had children, and they were talking about the depopulation of the black family because of the gay people, as if straight people are going to stop fucking and having kids because gay people got kids. this is what the type of logic that folks are using when it comes to talking about gay people and their, you know, and the fact that they're able to live the way that they want to live, man. At the end of the day, a lot of this shit don't even have nothing to do with you, but you take issue with these things, right? And Green Mean 28 also says, I will never understand how people put sexual orientation on parenting. That lets me know how you feel being gay is a failure, which is stupid. Exactly. Exactly. You know, because say, for instance, we could talk about the fact that there were miscegenation laws all over the United States. Man, it used to be illegal for black and white people or just interracial marriages, period, across the country. And people validated that through the Bible. People validated that through, you know, talks of disease, and people validated that by saying, you know, black people weren't human and we carried certain diseases and everything else. It was validated to a point where folks, people validated their bullshit with more bullshit, right? And you get these same arguments when it comes to homosexuals and homosexual marriage and what have you, is that they start going back into the tried and true things. And the funny thing is, like, when it comes to black people, we're doing the same thing that was done to us. We're doing the same thing that was done to us when it comes to discriminating against gay folks a lot of times, man. We start using the same tactics that were done to us. You have ballot initiatives on state elections and everything else to try to deny someone the same right that you enjoy. And it's stupid, man. It's really stupid. And I appreciate you, Green Mean 28, for watching and participating in the show today. But as of right now, man, your man Span is getting ready to get up out of here. So here's what we're going to do. Here's how you can get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline. The hotline is area code 313-288-0485. It's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages here on the show and reply to those here on the show as well. You can hit me up at the Span Report email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. That's the new email. For any time you want to send emails to the show, I'll read those and, of course, respond to those here on the show. You can also hit me up on my Instagram and my Twitter. My name there is the same as it is everywhere. That's Mr_Span, Mr_Span on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, for everything you need as far as the Span Report podcast is related, you can go to thespanreport.com and check out every episode of the podcast, every Span TV video, every episode of a podcast where I was a guest on, whether it's Where's My 40 Acres, The Black Guy Who Tips, Chonilla.com, Single Simulcast, all of the shows that I've been a part of or been a guest on, you can check those out as well. And of course, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a 5-star review. Let me know what you're thinking about the Spirit Report podcast. Continue to let your voice be heard, man. But again, I thank you for listening. I thank you for listening. And of course, I'm going to continue to do these every Saturday at 4 p.m. All right. So until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.